This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Danny Meringue.
I found two empty bottles of a particularly decent Chateau Noir Bordeaux 57 in your rubbish.
Dusty Hera.
You went through my garbage?
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app.
I find it particularly offensive that you use them to wash down an order from something called Macho Taco.
And Portland's sports leader, 1080.
I would never drink a Bordeaux with a Macho Taco.
The Fan.
It was a burrito machissimo.
9:03 here on Danny Dusty on a Thursday afternoon when listening on 10:08 a.m. Watching along on YouTube.com/1080am the fan or twitch.tv/1080am the fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this wonderful, wonderful Thursday. It is quite nice out there.
It's a glorious day.
I was looking at the weather ahead of my golf lesson, and I was like, please don't rain. Please don't rain. Please don't rain. It got pushed back.
Dude, we got Little League games, and it's a mad dash to get all those Little League games in. So I've been a weather hawk lately.
Because it looks like it's getting pushed out of the weekend for the most part. It looks like we might have a little bit of rain on Sunday.
Dude, tomorrow's going to be dope.
Yeah, no. Nice little 75.
Friday.
Did you see what the low was last night?
Yeah, I went running this morning.
Holy
because
crap.
That's a thing that I'm doing now.
Yeah, good luck with that.
You
hate running.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
It was 39 degrees when I left my house this morning.
Yeah, it was. I put the pups out. I want to say at like 2:30 this morning. They bothered me to go outside, and I was like, "All right." I've got the basketball shorts and a t-shirt and my Crocs.
No.
I opened up the door and I went, "Oh, it was 36."
I was not a fan of it. And I didn't like it.
Yeah. How far are you running?
5.
Oh God.
Yeah.
K?
Miles.
Oh.
Yeah. 5K is 3.1 miles. That's what I'm training for.
Oh.
Well, yeah, it's my friend's birthday, and he's
that's right.
He's got, like, these Olympic events that we have to do, and one of them's a 5K. The other ones are, like, pickleball and cornhole. And
you're not going to show up and be the chump.
No, I have pride, and I have a super competitive wife, and you're paired with your wife in these.
Oh, God.
So... Yeah, I might get a divorce, but like she is the most competitive. Well, I don't know. My son may be creeping up. I might be third in my family competitiveness now, and I have always been competitive. Like everybody's like, I've always been a competitive person. Like I like to compete, but it is. It perils in comparison to what my wife and now my son have. It's going to be a struggle. It's going to be a struggle.
Yeah, my wife, I wouldn't have thought she is that competitive.
Mm.
But in the few chances and the opportunities that have arisen, she turns into a different human.
Yeah. My wife is very, like, it scares people.
Yeah. I can see that. People. I can see that from her, though.
She's Russian.
Yeah, I was going to say, literally in her DNA.
She got that dog in her.
this is maybe a little TMI, but like it emanated with the husband butt smack You know, you give the wife a little good game as you go through. And one day I bent over and she basically unleashed the fury of every butt smack I ever gave her.
Yeah.
And I went, "What was that?" She goes, "I'm just trying to catch up."
And okay.
I'm like, what's going on? And ever since that moment, she's gotten a little firmer.
Yeah.
With a good game.
Yeah. I feel like that teeters on that line of might be sick of your ass.
But there's a little fire behind the eyes, a little competition of like,
okay.
Cause I don't ever like, you know, really smack. I just give her a little, and she, you know.
My wife is more, played beer pong with her one time and she dove for a loose ball.
Oh.
Yeah. She accuses me of cheating at the game of Yahtzee, which the tagline for Yahtzee is the ultimate game of chance.
Yes.
And she's like, "You cheated." I'm like, "You saw me roll."
When we do the family,
I don't know what to do here.
We did a, so my brother-in-law was born in Samoa. He's getting ready to take his naturalization test, become an American citizen. And during Easter,
America off.
Well, yeah, no, we did. We like, so he has this like 100 question test.
Yeah.
And let me tell you right now, most of you listening, watching, you'd fail it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an easy test unless you've got like a really grounded U.S. history, civics, you know, education. You have forgotten most of that stuff or you were never taught it. But we basically, it was split up into individuals and you had to answer a question. If you couldn't answer it, passed on to the next person, da da da. And my wife went full on, what was that I'm saying? I remember Big Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
You give him all the easy ones.
Hip-hop anonymous.
Hip-hop
anonymous.
Because the score was being kept. Mm. And she did not like where she finished up.
Side note off of that.
Mm.
Is Rob Schneider like the last person that's in cinema that is going to be crossing racial boundaries? Because he did that in Big Daddy.
Oh, yeah, that's
where
right.
Where he was the delivery driver.
Yeah.
Also, 50 First Dates, where his character was hilarious, but he was like the
an islander.
Yeah, he was Hawaiian in that movie.
God, you're right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
I mean,
he was hilarious in that movie.
I feel like it was more recent, though, that Hank Azaria decided to give up Apu.
Apu? But that started in the 80s. Yeah. That started in 89, right. And then he was like, that was more self-awareness on his part, where he's like, maybe I shouldn't
maybe I
be,
should
Apu
be doing this
anymore. And, but Rob Schneider, I mean, he went...
That's very recent, as opposed to Short Circuit.
Yeah, Short Circuit, where
Fisher Stevens.
Yeah Fisher Stevens.
He has really apologized for that because
I am standing here beside myself.
Yeah, because
Johnny number five is alive.
And that's the thing
I
is
love
like,
that line.
Oh, I mean, it was great. He's alive. But no, I didn't realize that as a kid that was not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I think I was 10 when that movie came out. Maybe
zero.
Short Circuit 2, where he joins the gang. Los locos kick your ass. Los locos kick your face. Los locos kick your balls into outer space.
With the mohawk? Oh, God, yeah.
I'll tell you what. Mom and Dad Hera, not too pleased.
Didn't love that song?
That Dusty was running around. It's a catchy jingle.
Oh, look.
What do you want me to do?
There's somebody in some ad agency somewhere who's like, son of a... How did I not
What do
that?
You want me to do? It's a good song.
I'm pretty certain that was rated PG.
Yeah, well, dude, they drop some S-bombs in the Sandlot, too.
Yeah, no, there's like, if you go back to, like, the original, like, when the ratings first came out, it was really just about nudity.
Well, can I say something here? PG is parental guidance.
Yeah.
Which means be a parent.
Yeah.
If Benny the Jet Rodriguez drops an S-bomb when a massive dog jumps over a fence, you know what? Sometimes, if a big dog were to jump over a fence and I'm standing next to my kid,
it's probably coming out.
I'm saying the F word, not the S word.
Especially the way that they showed that dog.
Yeah.
That dog looked like it was 280 pounds.
Yeah. Well, I think it was and like you know what? The parental guidance part of that rating is I need to guide my kid and let him know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes grown-up words are going to be said. But...
Not for you.
Don't say them.
Don't say them.
You know, that's parental guidance.
And if you do, make sure it's not around mom.
think it was about a year ago where my, I guess she would have been about seven then, found a bug on her backpack and went, somebody get that effing bug off my GD backpack.
No. Yeah. Wow.
It was a good one.
Also, the fan text line, which that we can maybe go that way with it. You can do it. Was Rob Schneider being like a Cajun?
Yeah, he was Cajun.
Yeah, that was Cajun.
He was Cajun.
Is that appropriation?
Creole. I don't know.
We need to get Edo.
He's not wearing.
I mean, he did. I mean, he did have darker skin though.
But he's not like. I don't know.
Do we just think of him?
No, he's acting.
Do we just say no because Cajuns are lesser people?
Acting. This one says Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder.
That was purposeful.
I'm a dude playing the dude described as another dude.
That is the closest thing we have gotten to Mel Brooks.
But
that's what that was.
Yeah, it was.
That was
making fun of himself.
He was spoofing method actors.
Yes.
To an extreme in a movie about making fun of actors.
Yes.
All the way from, and well, the whole Hollywood community.
You don't go full.
Yeah. And then Tom Cruise even going in on agents. You know,
can we just talk about how Tug Speedman is one of the best names of all time for a made-up actor?
That's a good name.
Tug Speedman is just, mwah.
Yeah, yeah.
What was Cruise's name?
Les Grossman.
Grossman, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that also hits pretty good.
You know, Texter brings up another one here with Rob Schneider and Chuck and Larry when he was like an Asian rabbi priest. What if Adam Sandler is deliberately trying to get Rob Schneider canceled because he's tired of him being a hanger-on?
Wait, are we going from Adam Sandler being the best friend in Hollywood to the worst?
Just because look at all these characters he's making him do.
Yeah.
Well, he's willingly doing them.
Well, yeah, because he's trying to stay relevant.
Well, no, yeah, he probably gets a pretty good check.
Yeah.
That movie money's different, man.
Do you remember when Rob Schneider was a werewolf in The Animal?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Didn't he also kind of play a little bit of a darker skinned individual in the in Grown Ups?
I don't remember Grown Ups.
No idea.
Remember he had the super hot daughters?
I don't remember.
Oh yeah, but I just remember that.
I don't remember.
I'm trying to picture this. Remember the scene where they shoot the bow and arrow up in the sky, and they all like are running away from the arrow.
I'm gonna be honest. I've seen Grown Ups. Mm-hmm.
Only reason it's on the only reason it's on my mind, it was like a TNT or TBS thing where it was on after something.
Yeah.
And I was like, meh.
Okay, so we've now seen this both on the text line and the YouTube chat. Is Rob Schneider apparently part Filipino?
He is Filipino and Caucasian.
Oh, so there you go. I'm the idiot.
I didn't know this about
him. I didn't either. I mean, I don't think of Schneider as Filipino, but shouts to him.
His dad.
Yeah.
Dad's last name.
Cool. Well, speaking of last names, Saban,
those characters were all really funny, though.
Oh, they were.
The 51st Dates character, hilarious.
Oh, the Islander pirate?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
It was Kurt Russell in, what was that, the movie where he was the
Captain Ron?
It was like Captain Ron missing a chromosome.
I will also go this with, 51st Dates got two amazing role characters in Sean Astin.
Oh God, write it out.
Playing the brother.
Oh God, yeah.
Not steroids.
Steroids.
That's a funny movie.
It is. It's a bit of. I would say even slept on. Underrated, right. Perhaps.
There we go.
There you go.
Look, we learned about Rob Schneider today.
Yeah,
too.
No, I had no idea he was Filipino. Shout out to Texlon.
51st Dates. That gets watched quite a bit around our house.
No, it's a good one.
Yeah. It's a good movie.
It's a good one. There's no doubt about it. It's no Deuce Bigelow.
And there's also the walrus caretaker lady too. She's hilarious in that movie as well.
Oh yeah, the giant German lady.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. She's probably got more
testosterone flowing through her than I do.
And then, was it Kevin Nealon who was in the short-term the memory loss facility?
Oh, yeah, 8-second Bob, 10-second Bob, yeah. Something like that.
You had Aykroyd in there, too, because didn't they call it like the Callahan Institute or something?
Oh.
If I remember correctly.
revisit to Tommy Boy.
Yeah.
All right.
I like it. There you go. Let's talk in Rob Schneider's. All right, let's talk some Nick Saban and the future of college football. We'll get that next year on Danny and Dusty, 10 of the Fan.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Well, Nick Saban is at the center of it all, and no, not college football, but all of college sports. A article from Ralph Russo of The Athletic. Headline reads, Nick Saban to co-chair President Trump's planned commission on college athletics. And he, alongside Texas Tech Board of Regents Chairman Cody Campbell, would co-chair the commission that President Trump is interested in forming to examine a host of issues facing college sports.
Yikes. Yeah, so apparently the president was down in Alabama for commencement or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he met with Saban, and like he considered an executive order to try and fix college sports, which I don't know if that would have helped, because there's nuance to this. And so he made Saban, and then the billionaire who's pumping money in left and right,
mm-hmm,
to Texas Tech Athletics, like to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars.
The guy cut a $250 million check for an addition onto their stadium.
And this is where he just sold, I think he's an oil dude.
He sold two properties for $10 billion combined.
Yeah, he is a...
like, it's crazy money.
Very, very, very wealthy man. But I think that this is actually a good thing for college sports. But I roll my eyes at Nick Saban being in charge of it, because if tampering in the transfer portal is something that is at the top of his mind, he literally has worked for ESPN for two NFL drafts and has admitted to tampering in the transfer portal in both of them.
Directly with the player.
He's saying,
named the player.
When I was at Alabama, we tried to get this guy into the portal and he wouldn't do it. That's the problem that you're trying to fix, Nick. Which leads me to believe, would you be at all surprised? There's a little bit of Nick Saban that's like, I need to fix this so nobody, so like maybe Kirby Smart or anybody else, nobody's ever going to touch what I did
my
at Alabama.
Records.
My dominance.
Pettiness is a good motivator.
It will be Bear Bryant and Nick Saban, and that's where the list ends. Because I'm going to make it so we finally do have rules that make sense and that there aren't loopholes that can be exploited. Because, like, look, you want to exploit the loopholes? Go ahead and do it, because they're there for you to have your way with it. And, like, Nick Saban, when he's saying we tried to get him into the portal when I was at Bama, he's not saying he did it. This is where the loophole is.
Yeah, well, they
is that
reset.
Somebody...
Yeah. We tried.
Somebody in your orbit, whether it is, you know, your agent or a member of a collective that's separate from the university, they reach out to the agent of that player because that player has an agent for NIL, and there is no direct... And it's not like Nick Saban called Quinyon Mitchell when he was at Toledo and was like, hey, man. It'd
be funny if he did.
Enter that portal. That's not... But the loophole that gets exploited is that somebody else does
Six degrees of separation, baby.
To an agent, and they're not talking to the player, right? This is the same thing that has happened. Like, again, if you read anything about recruiting over the last 40 years.
No, it happens in professional sports, too. Like, this whole idea of, like...
Tampering, the whole tampering thing, right? Recruiting has always been somebody on the outside gets in the ear of a family member or a high school coach that's very well-trusted. Like,
or a former high school teammate.
Like, nothing... new.
No.
And is it right? No. But at the same time, it's like not by the, it's by the letter of the law, but not the spirit of it. And that's where.
Look, man, all these super teams that formed over 10 years in the NBA, all these guys sitting down at the Olympics.
Or All-Star Weekend. Remember, who was Giannis? Oh, it was Giannis and Dame in the tunnel at the All-Star game having a long talk. And it was like, the whispers were there. Oh my gosh.
I mean, D flat out told me over the years that they talked about how they could do it and what it would take to get him here.
Yeah. Well,
like these players, like all these top players, they all talk. It's the same thing with all of the top teams. They're trying to get top players.
Yeah.
It happens in the NBA and the NFL. Like somebody somewhere reaches out to somebody, like in the NBA in particular, most deals that get done. Yeah. The general managers on each side ultimately agree and sign off on it. But it's some agent somewhere else reaching out to an AGM on another team being like, hey, my guy wants to get out of here. Or, hey, you know, what do you guys have got some salary cap space. My guy's going to be a free agent in the offseason. What are you thinking about this? And now that's the whole like sanctioned non-tampering period and all that kind of stuff. But all those discussions have already happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why you saw contracts being signed 2 minutes after the moratorium. Well, you're telling me you got a 60-page document done in 2 minutes? No.
This is where, I mean, it revisits the question or the topic we were talking about yesterday where, like, I've talked to several coaches at various levels of college football that say it's a mess right now. And there's no fix for it because the NCAA doesn't want to do anything because they know they can't really do anything. And I don't think the United States government is going to fix anything in this. But you know what? It's going to ramp up the pressure for change. And what's going to happen is the change that will happen is that we have a new governing body that actually has teeth.
It's going to split off.
Yeah. And they will bite somebody. And at that point,
I have a hard time believing it'll be Bama.
We can fix some things. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they elected Tommy Tuberville to try and fix their sports.
Just saying. All right, coming up next, speaking of trying to fix things, the Minnesota Timberwolves have a lot to fix after game one. They played the Golden State Warriors in the last game, reaching two games in the conference semifinals. What the hell do the Wolves need to do to get back on track? But first, here's Mr. Nuts of Grape himself, Jeff Rust.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, the last pair of teams to play their game two in the conference semifinals, the Golden State Warriors take on the Minnesota Timberwolves up 1-0. They will be without number 30 himself, Steph Curry. He'll be out at least a week with the hamstring strain, the grade one hamstring strain. That has caused the folks down in Las Vegas to put this game at a 10.5 point line.
Yikes. That's a big number, man.
That's a monstrous number. Weirdly enough, it's a 10.5 point line. Timberwolves are favored to win 56-44. Reconcile those two things for me. Math says they have a 56% chance of winning, but the line is 10.5. It's like, wait, what?
Does the math take into account Steph Curry not being in?
Yes.
I mean,
that's what I can't. I'm the math is not.
It just doesn't seem like it does.
If it's a 10.5 point line,
because look, the struggles that Minnesota had, they carried over from a completely different series playing a completely different team, which is historically the worst three-point shooting percentage. Because like, look, even though the Celtics are 25 of 100 through two games, they're still at 25% from three. The Timberwolves are 12 of 76, which means that they would need to go 13 of 24 from three in order to catch the Celtics on percentage. They have been woeful in their ability to shoot the three against the Lakers in the game five, which they won somehow, and then in game one against Golden State. If those shooting woes continue, which, I mean, at some point, just like the Celtics, we're going, you got to make something, right? It's incredible to see how far they have just nosedived both of those teams. But something tells me Minnesota's just going to try to go inside. Well, Ant Edwards not going to settle. Rudy Gobert going to create opportunities for him. Yes. Julius Randle not going to be camping out outside, going to be getting down low. I just don't see it. Naz Reid too. McDaniels, like, they've got to go inside.
They just finished up shoot around in Minnesota, and Dave McMenamin is literally on the TV screen over your shoulder right
now. And nobody
now
attempted a three in shoot around, because I hope they didn't.
Well, he referenced Chris Finch's line about the tackling, holding, grabbing of Rudy Gobert, and then followed that up with, we're going to have to take justice into our own hands.
Hells yeah.
Look for I keep wanting to say the Wizards, the Wolves to be a more physical team.
Be in foul trouble tonight.
I hope to God. Like, look, the Denver OKC game, you can just scrap that. There were too many fouls called in that game.
Mm-hmm.
These games have been perfect.
You're talking game one. Game one of Denver OKC. Yes.
These games have been perfect. Do not overregulate the fouls and the physicality. Look, if Draymond and Rudy get trapped into a thing, just tee them up and keep it separate. Like, just, but let these teams do what they've been doing for the last 3 weeks.
But doesn't that seem like that gives Golden State a chance because Draymond Green gets to do his thing.
Oh, he has more leash than anyone. His leash is 10 feet longer because you do it. Look, it's what the Rockets did. It's what Ime Udoka has built his team on, is foul so often and so frequently that they can't call everything.
And Jimmy Butler can then, if you mentioned this yesterday and it was a great point, Jimmy seems like he's lost a little bit of a step.
Yeah,
right?
he's
like a half a step.
He's running on just regular unleaded. He's not running on the plus anymore. Still real good. The engine still runs real well, but it doesn't. It's not the high performance super engine that it once was.
But if he can muck it up, I mean, then
Look, he's a physical strong dude, and he doesn't play the finesse game.
And then Pods, his impact would be
he's a scrappy little guy.
Being scrapper,
I mean, Pat Spencer has, like, hilarious as it is, like,
it's lacrosse, bro.
Yeah, he's a tough dude. He didn't back away when he got the hard foul.
No.
Last game, remember, they got a little spicy. He went chest to chest with guys. Like, look, they're small and they're undersized, but they are scrappy. Gary Payton II, look, I know Portland fans hate him, and for very good reason, but he's a tough dude.
Mm-hmm.
He's a scrappy, like, there.
And that is where you get that glimmer of, can the Warriors, the ultimate finesse team, because
of Steph? Yeah.
But that's what
the beautiful game that they play and all that's got to go out the window. They need Buddy Hield to continue being a superhero and knocking down threes, and some combination of Pods, Kuminga, Moody basically need to combine to give them 35, 40 points, because without Steph, they just don't have an engine outside of Jimmy.
And Quentin Post needs to use his five fouls.
Yeah. And knock down threes.
I mean,
threes.
Honestly.
And knock down threes.
Use your five fouls.
Yeah.
Shoot some threes. Go.
Look. Kerr is going to have to pull out all the stops without Steph. Everybody knows that.
But here's the thing is they've stole home court. They know it. And does that play a big factor in that 10.5 point line? That's it right there. How many times do we see veteran teams say, hey, we already stole this game. Let's live to play another day. So your 56% chance of the Wolves winning, but a 10.5 point line in Vegas, that might answer your question as to how do we see that discrepancy. You steal home court. That's the intention of going and playing in the first two games. You had afforded yourself the luxury to essentially take this night and say, we're going to roll it out, muck it up. If it falls our way, then great. We're up 2-0. If not, we've already done our job, which is steal one on the road.
And for those wondering, the Timberwolves in the season, and in regular season basketball, playoff basketball, different beasts, they averaged 15 made threes a game. They were a pretty prolific three-point team.
Sure.
Ant Edwards is not getting the respect that he probably deserves in that. Ant Edwards led the league in three-point attempts this year. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
He was getting 10-plus threes up a game this year, and he was shooting 40%. He was Steph Curry-esque this year.
Well, hot damn.
But he's got to put his head down when they're bricking threes, and he's got to do what Donovan Mitchell did. He's got to do what Jalen Brunson did and get to the bleeping rim.
Yeah.
Because that Warriors team is not big enough, not long enough, not strong enough to do what they did to him in the first game, which was basically mute him for an entire half. That cannot happen.
No.
Absolutely, positively cannot happen.
Wow. Yeah, because he played in 79 games. Mm-hmm. He led the league in attempts. Steph only played in 70. Mm-hmm. Steph, per game, 11 threes per game.
But look at the total attempts that Anthony Edwards had.
That's crazy, man. I would have never in a million years thought that. Like that.
He went from a guy who was an okay shooter to a flat out elite shooter.
Wow.
Yeah.
There were only three guys in the NBA that attempted over 10 per game.
Mm-hmm.
Curry, Ant, Tatum.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
And the Celtics obviously feed into that.
Yeah, they do. Drive and kick, and kick. Because number six is Derek White at 9.1.
And that's even crazy to think about. That Derek White almost averaged 10 threes a game.
And Peyton Pritchard is 15th coming off the bench at 7.8.
Off the bench. They get him up, man. No doubt about it. But I'm really interested to see how this game goes. I think Minnesota gets back on track. Coming in that, look, the game ones across the board, I don't think I could have been more wrong.
No.
Thinking how those games were going to go. The basketball gods, they are throwing nothing but curveballs right now. There ain't nothing down the middle. Like, it's nothing but surprises. So, again, I'm not going to be surprised. I'm done being surprised by stuff. But looking at this game and Minnesota looking at the other playoff teams and going, we don't want to end up like Boston. We don't want to end up like Cleveland. And we don't really have the excuse to.
No, not one.
Boston and Cleveland are dealing with some stuff, both with injuries and, you know, old. And then the Cavs, just injuries and choking horribly. The Wolves don't really have any excuses.
No, it was just not making shots.
At all, for two games.
And a refusal to adjust to get the ball to the one advantage we have, which is big men.
Yes. Remember Rudy Gobert looked like Wilt Chamberlain against the Lakers.
Well, he sure did. He sure did.
Do the Warriors have anybody that's really going to bother you? I mean, Loon Dogs, don't get me wrong, he's tough. My fellow hip, you know, hip injured man, but.
Oh, Quentin Post, dude.
There you go. Oof. Look.
What's that noise?
Look, man.
I don't know, dude.
Look, man. Quentin Post, nice little role player. You know, 7-footer comes out, stretches the floor. And if you're a North Carolina basketball fan, you probably hate seeing Quentin Post because he absolutely destroyed North Carolina. He was at Boston College.
Oh, yeah.
But outside of that, you should not fear Quentin Post.
No, you shouldn't. No, you shouldn't.
No, no. So, coming up, we'll wrap up today's show. Tom Brady had some sage advice for one Shedeur Sanders. Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan. I think we need to pivot here because
we got fake news.
We got some fake news. For those that are unaware, a new pope has been named. He's from Chicago.
Pope Leo the 14th.
He is the first American pope.
And the Cubs out on Wrigley Field, on the marquee at Wrigley Field.
Claiming.
It says, hey, Chicago, he's a Cubs fan. WGN News interviewed Pope Leo's the 14th's brother, who still lives in Chicago, and he said, no, he is not a Cubs fan. He said, I don't know where this is coming from. He's never been a Cubs fan. He's always been a White Sox fan.
You know what would be the funniest outcome here? Him actually being a huge Cubs fan and his brother's a White Sox fan.
His brother's wearing black and white checkered shirts. Oh, so. Just
think how funny that would be, though. It's like, he's trying to, you know, they're trying to celebrate all this. He's like, no, I want to kibosh all this right now.
He's like, you know
he's
what?
A White Sox fan.
He gets way too much credit here. What a bigger spoiler would be, what if the 10-28 Chicago White Sox turn it around, mark the date, May 8th, Pope Leo goes into the big house and he gets the big apartment. Actually, I don't know if he's going to use the big apartment or not, but if he goes and takes over the pontiff and then he goes and the White Sox win the damn World Series.
Even crazier.
14 and a half games back from when he puts on the big hat.
The new pope, a graduate of Villanova.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Nova Knicks. Knicks and six. Do you know what he graduated from Villanova with, his degree?
I'm going to go.
It's not religious studies.
I'm going to go with.
Might be one of the last things you'd figure from a man, you know, in the clergy like this deep.
Do you know what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to go. Communications with a minor in botany.
No, it is in the STEM world. It's a mathematics degree.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. I saw already probably the best pun I've seen made about this. He doesn't do sin. He does coast.
Hey!
I was like, oh, that's pretty good.
Well, and does this spur perhaps the first 4,000-yard season for a Chicago Bears quarterback?
Yeah, the brother in the interview, he doesn't talk about the Bears. So I don't know.
Well, I mean, he is a White Sox fan. There's only so much suffering one can handle.
I mean, look, he's busy on Sundays.
Right?
You know?
Fair enough.
I don't know if he's got time
it's
in
weird.
His schedule.
During the NFL season, the church services, they seem to move around in time.
He's like, we're going to have to do this a little earlier, huh? Maybe that, he did move to Peru in 1985. So maybe that was so he could get out of the time zone so church would be done by the time the Bears were playing.
And the Bears, he could, 85 Bears.
85 Bears. He wanted to do the old Super Bowl shuffle.
Look, the last time he left, they won a title.
There we go. Now he's moving on.
Bears back.
To the Vatican. But two Bears are back. White Sox are back. We don't know if he's a Bulls fan or not.
I mean, I feel like if you're a religious man, you can't be a fan of the Bulls because it feels like God hates that team.
Wow.
Just saying.
Jerry Reinsdorf owns both teams, the White Sox and the Bulls.
I think you're picking up what I'm putting down.
I mean, like,
they did win a World Series, and then they fired everyone and traded everyone away off the roster.
Yeah, I don't.
Shouts to Ozzie.
That was a sad, sad World Series. All right. Well, that does it for us. If you hear that Pope Leo is a Cubs fan,
you're wrong. His brother says false news.
His brother is saying, Fake news. White Sox fan. Likes the Sox. All right. Up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's prime time. Rop is so happy about the conclave. He loves the conclave. I've heard.
He came in.
He can't get enough of it.
He came in with his own white smoke.
That's right. That was his vape. All right. We'll see you Friday from noon to three. This has been Danny Dusty on the fan.
Bye. I'm the idiot.